Hello. Are we testing or are we actually on the air?
We're on.
Oh. Well, that was unexpected.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Pork Therapy.
This is Mike here.
And this is Stephanie. And what are we doing tonight, Mike, besides surprising each other?
We're not testing anything, that's for sure.
I guess we're not. We never really do. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants, and that's why our podcast is so shitty, right?
Well, the seat of anyone's pants is going to be shitty.
Oh, that's a good point. So, Mike, how's it going?
Well,
I was going to ask you what we were talking about tonight, but I think we need to waste a little more time first.
Well, actually, we should probably get into it because this might be a long episode.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess if you don't want to talk about facial hair, then I can forgive you just this once. I just listened to our episode on forgiveness, and I learned how.
Well, let me interrupt
you. Special moment
from a different episode, and get on with the.
Well, tonight, we should say, first of all, we're Pork Therapy, and you should, if you want to hear us, you should go to our website at porktherapy.com. We've made some recent revampings, and
you should be able to now listen to all of our past episodes.
And if you like that, you should fan us on Facebook. You should go right now and look up Pork Therapy on Facebook and
facebook.porktherapy.com.
That's right. Mike has made it even easier for you to do that.
No, Kevin Dean has.
Oh,
thank
Kevin
you, Kevin Dean.
Dean,
for all the technical stuff.
See, I never give anyone credit where credit's due. Oh, it's okay. Well, now that we have a. Oh, wait. I think I forgot something. See,
yes.
this is why I fail as a host. What I forgot was that if you have relationship questions, you can email them to us at questions@porktherapy.com.
That's
right.
And that's not only right, we do love getting your questions.
We sure do.
We get so few of them, we just go ecstatic when one comes in. Please send us your questions.
Oh, no, our inbox is flooded with questions. We get them all the time. And, in fact, speaking of which, that's a good segue into our topic because We got an article, actually. It wasn't so much of a question, but it was an article for us to discuss. And the article is about 12 healthy intimate relationship tips. And they are supposedly 12 useful guidelines for couples, although we'll get into them and we'll pontificate a little bit and add our two cents and see how healthy they really are.
As this article admits at the end, most of these are just common sense, but
most of these
I'll agree with and some I'll slightly disagree with, but the way that this article words things is just horrific sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of a lame pop psychology article, and there are definitely some things in it we should discuss.
Yeah, so it starts by saying, these 12 tips are derived from research on the 10 to 15% of couples who have been together for over 5 years.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
that means that they've counted the couples in what? America? The world?
That have been together over five years and
talked to 10 to 15% of them.
I didn't even read it that way. It's just extremely misleading the way it's worded.
It's vague and in multiple interpretations, it seems impossible to accomplish.
Yeah, well, the whole thing says that the tips are derived from research on the 10 to 15% of couples who have been together for over 5 years and who are, to a large extent, living happily ever after. And to me, that's just...
Yeah, who defines what's happily ever after when choosing the 10 to 15%?
Yeah, and what 10 to 15% of what? It just doesn't...
Is that heterosexual, homosexual? Is that couples? Is that multiple partners?
Yeah, it's just... yeah, this article...
That, yeah.
It's very, like, heteronormative kind of
So that's kind of such the standard for this article.
Yeah.
But their first tip, the first of their 12 tips, is priorities. And they say... The happy and satisfied couples make a clear commitment to each other.
But not before they suggest that you save all of these tips and you refer back to them when things are not going well in your relationship.
Yeah, write them on your arm like a cheat sheet.
Yeah, tattoo them on your ass or your partner.
How are you going to refer to your own ass?
That is a good question. But I often refer to an ass when he sits next to me on the pork therapy couch.
Don't!
Anyway, maybe we need to post these tips up, Mike, so that we can get along with each other better and stop interrupting each other on the show.
Well, we could post them on the website so you guys can read these for yourself.
If you want to, but some of them are pretty lame.
This was actually emailed to us, so I don't have a link where you can find it yourself, but I imagine if you Google Healthy Intimate Relationship 12 Tips, you'll probably find it.
Probably, yeah.
So the first tip is priorities, and they basically say the people in the couple, or the people in happy couples... make time make for each other. They make it a priority to be with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty commonsensical.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it says including their sexual relationship, and that a lot of people, like, delay time with their partner because they feel like they have other things to do. But, I don't know, it seems to me like if you're more excited about doing the laundry or dishes than spending time with your partner, then maybe you're not that interested in your partner, right?
Yeah, I guess it's all values. Maybe you are interested in your partner because you want someone to build a house with, or, you know, a home with, and so that's, oh, great, they're my partner now, so they'll do the laundry while I go, you know, work in the garage or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also agree that, like, you know, sometimes you just feel like there's stuff that you need to get done, and you can't really clear your mind enough to relax and spend time with your partner unless that stuff gets done. But at the same time, if you're always more interested in doing the dishes,
that's true.
This
particular tip also, or the article also, go ahead.
It's I don't know, what I was saying is I think it's easy to make time for your partner if you really love and are interested in your partner, right? And
yeah, maybe then it's not a
chore. If you find yourself dreading spending time with them, then maybe you shouldn't be together.
Yeah, so this, like another one we'll come to later, is like a chicken and egg thing. Well, if you like your partner, you're not going to have, they're going to be a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like them, you're going to have to struggle to make them a priority. So which comes first?
Right.
Or which affects the other, I should say.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so you want to go on to number two?
Yeah, number two is timing.
Okay.
Basically, that was what we just talked about. I was reading number two as number one. Yeah, this is basically the same thing. I think we can combine these and move on to the next one. We are butchering this article already. Good job, Mike.
Well, the point of timing, the point of priorities, well, they do kind of meld. You know, if washing the dishes is more important than making time to be with your partner, that's priorities. But then timing, this article's point is couples that put off intimacy and conversation while they get things done, like cleaning the house, aren't as happy. So that's like making time is pretty much the same thing as making the other person a priority.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you really don't have any time to spend with your partner, but you have time to, you know, do all this housework and have a bunch of kids and a dog and all these other activities, then, well,
there's your priority.
You know, some of those things are voluntary, right?
Right. You only make time for things that are valuable to you. That's
right.
A priority.
Yeah.
So these
or
two
you
go
carve
hand
out the
hand.
Most time
yeah.
for the things that are the most valuable. Yeah.
So tip number three is called recovery, and it says happy couples are quite unique in that they quickly recover from arguments and hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of goes along the lines of forgiveness, right? If you're just carrying around all these vindictive feelings from a past argument that has been resolved, then that's not going to be too healthy, right?
Well, right, but I'm confused about whether this is an observation.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy couples do, people who are in healthy couples do this, or it's like a recommendation, do this and you will be healthy or happy.
I think it's sort of both. At the beginning they say that these are common characteristics of these magical 10% of couples that are living happily ever after, but then they say also at the same time you should refer to these tips if your relationship is going bad. And so I think it's they intend it as both, but I just think this article is a little lame to tell the truth overall.
So under recovery, this article says, happy couples have been found to use a method not often recommended by counselors and therapists of the past. They're often able to temporarily put aside relationship problems to experience something enjoyable together.
Oh, does that mean like if they have a fight right before they're about to go to a party or something, then they just go to the party and have a good time, and then they settle the dispute later?
Pretty much. I interpreted it to mean not just coincidentally, but if they have an argument, they'll stop having the argument and then maybe actively go seek something fun to get to do.
Hmm.
Even if they didn't have plans to go to a party right then, they would say, all right, well, let's go see a movie together or something.
Hmm.
Have something enjoyable and then come back to the argument and when they're in, you know, better moods. Now, on one hand, if you're passionate about something, let it stand and think about it for a while. And when you come back, you'll be better able to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But, I mean, it seems that if you have an important issue and you know how you feel about it and you are able to talk about it right away, why not talk about it right away?
I don't know. So, but what if this research was real, which I kind of doubt, and they actually observed that the happiest of people tend to not, let's see, what do they say? They temporarily put aside problems, experience mm-hmm. something enjoyable, then fix the problem. If most people did that, what would you say?
If most people did that?
Most happy people.
If most happy people did that? Well, I would say that the problem wasn't that big in the first place. Because some problems are so big that you cannot ignore them. Like, yeah. if you're fighting about somebody left their dirty dishes in the sink or something, well, that's not that big of a deal. But if you're fighting about somebody spent a bunch of money without telling you and ran up your credit card debt, and now you're both in trouble, then that's... You can't just go to a party and forget about it, right?
And one of their suggestions is they put off their arguments while they make love and then come back to it.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to have sex?
Let's take a break and fuck.
How are you going to have sex with someone who you're just absolutely livid at?
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, some people that enhances it,
well,
right?
That's true.
Sometimes people like, but it seems that if you're really truly like angry at someone, it might be a hate fuck, I guess. Right.
Wow.
That is
all right,
so
let's
good.
Do the next tip. What is that
one? We're terrible. We're giving bad advice. The next tip is touch. You're touching the tip.
oh, man.
The happily satisfied couples touch each other a lot. Most of the touching is sensual and not explicitly sexual or genital. They hold hands, snuggle on the couch while they watch TV, hug, kiss, take baths together, give massages, etc. Couples who go for days or longer without any prolonged affectionate touch are starting from scratch when they decide to be intimate. Unlike the affectionate couples, they have a lot more work to do in order to make something interesting happen. Sex is not that much different.
I don't know about that. Because
I don't think touching is like getting started on like foreplay or something. I just think if you like someone, you want to touch them, right?
Right, but this last sentence says... If you haven't touched each other in a week or so, then you have a lot more work to do to make something interesting happen.
You haven't touched each other in a week.
Yeah, well, they even said that earlier, right?
Yeah, didn't they?
Prolonged affections when they said,
yeah,
well, I don't remember.
You highlighted
so.
It and you were...
No, I don't see the week in there, but whatever.
Okay.
But later...
Days or longer, that's what you were talking about.
Days or longer.
Yeah.
If they haven't touched each other, they'll have more work to do to make something interesting happen. But we're on number four. Number six is anticipation. So they're, like, contradicting themselves, which I guess we'll talk about in a minute, but...
I guess, yeah.
Basically, they're saying touch is important. Happy couples touch each other.
Bullshit. yeah, I mean, touching, yeah, I pretty much agree with that. Like, I think most couples have their own little version of what they consider affectionate and what they consider an appropriate level of touching each other, and that probably varies whether it's in public or it's in private.
Sure.
But... You know, I think if you like someone, you just you can't keep your hands off of them, right?
I don't know. I think it's different for every person.
It is, but I don't know.
I think
what
some
I'm
people
really
aren't
to say.
Aren't too into touch.
Well, they're just lame. They're just dead fish.
Oh my God! How many of our audience did you just insult?
I think I insulted
10 to 15%.
10 to 15%. I was just going to say. and then it's, okay, well, we don't have to dwell on that anymore.
This is just terrible. Romancing. Content couples know the importance of surprise, tenderness, compliments, and special little gifts. And this article says, big expensive gifts don't predict happiness in relationships, but regular little ones do.
Well, I sort of agree with that because I don't know, Mike, we've talked about this in the past and on the podcast that... We're not really big on giving gifts for Christmas or, you know, holidays, but we do like little surprises, like the googly worm, right?
Yes. Well, I don't disagree with it. I'm just wondering what research could turn this up.
Yeah.
If you give little gifts, they're more meaningful than if you give big gifts.
Yeah, and they say it like they did a scientific study on it. Big expensive gifts don't predict happiness in relationships. Like, that key word of predict.
Right.
You know?
But and they explicitly say little regular ones do. So if
what are they basing that on? There's no reference.
I have no idea. If you give little regular gifts, it predicts your happiness. That's absurd.
Yeah, because if you hate someone, you should just give them little regular gifts
and then you'll be happy
with them. If you're... Yeah, it's a little absurd.
That said, I do think that little gifts... The best part about this whole tip, this whole paragraph, is the gifts and phone calls are especially important since they communicate clearly what words cannot, that I am often thinking of you when we aren't together.
Then could a gift be anything? Like, if you're not together, you send them an email or a text message?
Yeah,
and say,
that's what I think.
Oh, you're hot, or you know, whatever.
Or even, I'm often thinking of you when we're not together.
Yeah, say that exact.
Which
that
words can communicate.
Mike, you are so direct. I don't think you could get any more direct
than
that. Yeah,
but you can be cuter than that, and it's probably more meaningful. Like the googly worm. I could have called you and said, hey, I'm thinking of you, but I got something
you
wanted.
Googly worm
and that
instead.
Was, yeah, that just proved that I was thinking about you. All right, the next one.
That's
what's the next one?
That's our fallback example of a,
googly
of
solves
a great
everything.
Gift. Every time we talk about gifts, we talk about the googly. well, okay, one more thing about the gifts. One, I think the one sentence that is actually important in that one is that it says, these couples avoid the deadly danger of taking each other for granted. And that is, I think that's the common thread in every single one of these tips, is that you're just basically constantly reminding each other that you're not taking advantage of the other person. You're not taking each other for granted.
That's true.
You're acting and treating the other person just as you did when you first met, and you were afraid of losing them, right?
Well, I don't know if it's just when you first met, because there's always new relationship energy, which we haven't done a show on yet. But
well,
treating them like you like them, like you want to be with them.
Yeah, like you value them.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
They go on to say, if it's been too long, if you've gone too long being busy with other things, these happy couples apologize and do something about it instead of ignoring it or whatever.
Hmm. Yeah. I have a question, Mike.
Yep.
What do you think about this? Is taking each other for granted a problem in monogamous relationships? More so than non-monogamous, long-term monogamous?
More so?
Well, I'm...
Well,
I'm
my research has pointed to 10 to 15% of the answers are... I don't know.
Well, I was asking you kind of a leading question. Because in my experience that, you know, long-term monogamous relationships have the potential to fall into this trap of, well, I'm going to be with this person forever, so I don't really have to treat them well because I will just have
like,
them, you
it's
know?
Like you've got
They're
your
They're not
going to
leave me. Right.
You've done your
you've
courting.
You've hooked your man
and
or hooked your woman.
All the effort's gone. You can get fat, you can get lazy and dirty and disgusting
and they'll still
rude,
be with you.
And,
they won't leave you. When, I don't know, I think you have to, like, leave that, you have to use that leverage sometimes. It can be so easy to fall into that trap when you're in a monogamous long-term relationship with someone. Just completely let yourself go. Because what incentive do you have to get them, right? You've already gotten them.
Right, and if you're in an open relationship, even if there's not a third person, but you know that there could be, you're much more incentivized to make that person happy.
Or if you just take these tips to heart and you just... spend a lot of effort on maintaining your appeal to your monogamous partner, right?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
All right, the next one.
That's
now, this
is
this one...
Oh, I heard Jeff go... make a little noise, and I was wondering what he... But it didn't have anything to do with what we were saying. He was grunting at his computer.
There's grunting going on.
There is a lot of grunting that goes on in the pork therapy studio.
I wonder
studio.
Which tip is grunting.
You're so...
maybe,
we're both so
maybe
puerile.
Seven, maybe it's under seven, playfulness.
Oh, maybe.
All right, number six is anticipation. So, a major feature of actually feeling in love, in quotes, is that wonderful sense of anticipation when thinking warmly about our partner. Their example is a woman who sends a letter to her husband's office, and he gets it and opens it and it says, I'm going to wait for you tonight naked and see you tonight or something like
that. Yeah, it's a really corny way of saying that, too.
But basically, I think they're saying if you, and this is more just common sense, if you want to see your partner, you're going to want to see your partner. That's what they're saying, right? You're going to be happy.
I think they're saying to tease. I think they're saying with this tip that if you want to keep some spice in a relationship, I guess, you should tease your partner and you should create something for them to look forward to.
The stale old come home and tonight we're going to sit around and watch TV because we always do and then we always go to bed at 10 and then we always fuck. Yeah, that's not so exciting.
Well, if you always fuck, that's probably more than some people get,
Well, yeah, but whatever the routine is,
it's falling
change
into
it
a
up
routine,
and
right?
Have something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's good advice, but they put it in such a corny way.
Yeah, their wording is just terrible.
Very cheesy.
All right, what's the next one? Did we leave you on the edge of your seat there? Are you dying to know what the next tip is? Stay tuned. Same pork podcast, same pork time.
Well, anytime, actually. It's a podcast. You can play it when you want. But the episode got a little long, so we split it into two, and you can hear the remainder of our critiques in the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening.